This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
I'm at London Heathrow this morning, and this place is a ghost town. I mean, empty. Usually this is practically standing room only in here the last few times I've been here, and it is absolutely empty. My plane has so many seats open that they could probably put everybody on the plane in business class if they wanted to, but these airlines have got to be losing tons of money on these flights because they're just not filling the seats. So this is going to have a far-reaching economic impact without a doubt. And it'll be interesting to see if it turns out to be something that really does cripple the world economy. So here's hoping that I can get home.
Actions to protect the health and well-being of all Americans. To keep new cases from entering our shores, the new rules will go into effect Friday at midnight.
We were a little surprised. We were, of course, the time change is a little different from here to Texas, and we woke up in the middle of the night with all of our family members sending messages. So I was thinking that there would definitely be some things taking place. I wasn't expecting exactly this drastic of a change. So we are anxiously ready to get back home now.
This was a really rare Oval Office address from President Trump, and the setting was meant to convey the seriousness of this moment. It was meant to show that he does see this coronavirus pandemic as a major concern for Americans. That's a shift from some of his rhetoric in the previous days, where he has essentially said that this is something that's mild, that people can go about their lives as normal. That is changing. People really cannot go about their day-to-day lives because of all of the cancellations, all of the restrictions that are being put in place. And this was the president trying to say, hey, I also take this seriously. And he was also trying to put forward some solutions to this, trying to show what the government is doing to try to control the spread of this virus. The problem for the president is that in doing so, he made several mistakes. He said that there was a suspension of all travel from Europe. That is not the case. In fact, there are many loopholes to some of the restrictions that the administration is putting in place. American citizens, legal permanent residents can fly from Europe into the U.S. There will be other people who, if they go through proper testing, will still be allowed to travel from Europe. He also at one point seemed to suggest that those restrictions would apply to the transfer of goods to trade with Europe. That is now not the case either. So even in trying to assure Americans that he was taking this seriously, that his administration was taking steps to address the crisis, he really did leave himself open for quite a bit of criticism.
We were lucky. We decided to fly back out of London originally, and so we were already taking a train back today, this evening. So there's no change for us, but yeah, we woke up to a lot of texts back home and phone calls worried about us being able to get back here. And we were at the bars last night with lots of different people, right, you know, crowded restaurants. You know, we haven't changed anything there. What we have done is a lot of hand sanitizer.
Lots of hand sanitizer.
Yeah, yeah. Every few minutes or so, just to try to be safe. Try to touch our faces, that sort of thing.
You know, this is something that the president has struggled with throughout his tenure in office. He will sometimes announce these big policy proposals, these big moves from the U.S. government, and he won't get buy-in from the constituencies that he needs to support him. So we saw European leaders really outraged that they didn't get any heads up on this. We see at European airports today people scrambling to try to book flights to try to get out of the continent, even knowing that there are some loopholes in this. I think people are really just uncertain about what Trump will do here. So instead of seeming to calm the situation, he actually added a lot more anxiety to it.
We flew over with my twin 18-year-olds to visit a friend in Austria, flying over at night last night, and the news flash came on that they were shutting down the borders from everybody from Europe. So we don't know really what's going on yet, and hearing a lot of different information, whether it applies to us, whether it doesn't, whether things can change, and you know, every day something new's added. So we just got to figure out how we're going to get home and whether we need to do it today or whether we can keep enjoy our vacation or see my friends. Yesterday we were saying it was no big deal, that it was a hoax, and and that there was, you know, they were handling it, and so we were trying to change all the things. We were supposed to land in Venice. We changed that to just come to Vienna, and I know it's some of it's necessary, but it's being handled in such a shotgun fashion that nobody knows what's going on, and one thing changes from minute to minute, so you can't plan anything, you can't make any decisions without it, everything changing.
The Hill, Democrats are working on a package of aid to deal with coronavirus. Can Republicans get on board with that? Would the White House sign that bill? So there are a lot of big questions that need to be answered, but I do think the president will probably try again to come out and show that he is a strong leader in this crisis.
We don't really care which part of the United States, as long as we're in the States. We can always rent a vehicle and drive home or take an internal flight to go back to New York City. But we just want to get out from Vienna. They said they're probably going to try to accommodate us on a first-come, first-served basis. That's why we're here this early from the airport. I'm not annoyed. They are probably erring on the side of caution, and maybe that's what it is. I'm not annoyed. I just want to make sure that I get out of into the United States before the moratorium, basically.
The president is really relying on the same small, insular political team that he has throughout his presidency. But he does have this other group of advisors that are trying to help him, and this is the public health officials. These are people who largely are in their jobs, no matter who the president is. They are experts in their field, and the real question is how much the president is relying on them versus his political advisors. We do know that some of his political advisors want him to lean on those people even more. So they are saying that they are the experts, that they should be helping really guide these decisions. And I think you have seen over the last couple of days the president at least more willing to take the advice of the public health experts. Democrats are really hoping to push through this coronavirus aid package. They're working with Republicans. They're talking with Trump administration officials. We know Nancy Pelosi and Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, were huddled this morning on the Capitol. They actually have a pretty good relationship. And I think everyone is trying to come to a place where they can reach some agreement. They know the situation is urgent. They really want to get to a place where they can say we are united in this. This is not a Democratic bill or a Republican opposed bill. This is a bill from the United States Congress for the American people. That's never as simple as it actually sounds, of course, in Washington, even in a global pandemic.
The coronavirus is a global crisis, not limited to any continent, and it requires cooperation rather than unilateral action. The European Union disapproves of the fact that the U.S. decision to impose a travel ban was taken unilaterally and without consultation. The European Union is taking strong action to limit the spread of the virus.
On Sunday morning, there were 1,126 cases of the COVID-19 virus reported here in France, and that makes it the second hardest hit country in Europe outside of Italy. So the government is doing what it can by recruiting retired medical professionals and even medical students to try to help contain the outbreak.
Our priority is to do everything to slow the circulation of the virus across the country. It's the only way to protect those vulnerable and to mitigate the epidemic on a national scale. As of today, all gatherings of more than 1,000 people are now banned.
Tourism is already suffering, and the new rules will put a damper on other businesses and even churches. There are only a handful of Protestant churches in the entire country of France that can boast more than 1,000 members, and this is one of them. It doesn't look much like a church because non-Catholic congregations have been denied building permits for over 100 years in this country. So the congregation of the Paris Christian Center meets in a renovated parking garage. But that hasn't stopped them from growing to several thousand members.
Many churches have decided to close their service. So we were wondering what to do, and we decide to stay open and preach the word and preach faith.
But the coronavirus is changing some long-held traditions in the church.
We told the people they should not shake hands or give kiss, at least for some time. And we told the people, you know, that they can wave at people and greet the people with the hands and tell, I love you from the heart.
Sunday's banning of gatherings over 1,000 people means the Paris Christian Center will likely be forced to stay closed next week. but that won't stop them from worshiping.
If the government asks us to close down our service, we are ready, you know, to stream from our website and from YouTube.
And God bless their decision to keep the doors open this Sunday.
And today, 15 people got saved. So we are so excited about it.
Chuck Holton, CBN News, Paris, France.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.